Hello, Jason. This is Michael. I saw your email. I had a few minutes while I'm in the car, and I thought I would try to answer for you. My friend, I do not recommend dating websites to Christians. Could they possibly be used by God to match a person to somebody? Sure. I suppose you could fall off of a building and meet somebody too. So all things are certainly possible. Just as Paul would say, all things are permissible, but not all things are productive or constructive, meaning valuable. And so, my friend, I want to tell you, and you're not going to want to hear this, but I don't believe in dating. I believe in courting. If I had a chance to do my life all over again, I wouldn't have done all this having a bunch of girlfriends and dating. And it can be very, very bitter and painful and can lead to all kinds of problems in your soul. So what I would really recommend, Jason, is that you give God the total say in your life. Now, He made you. Can He make somebody for you when the timing is right? Meaning, can He connect you to another person He made? Absolutely. Is it hard for Him to do? Absolutely not. There is nothing that will lead to more of your happiness or more of your pain in this life than who you choose for a marriage partner. And even if God chooses your marriage partner, you're still probably going to, in accord with God's will, you'll have some sufferings and difficulties and trials. Marriage is not going to, and having a girlfriend is not going to all of a sudden take away all your problems. It'll make you feel really good for a time. Brain chemicals, excitement, oh man, I'm in love, and it makes you feel really good, but this is all very temporary. And what you want to know is, did God really give me this person? If you go to a dating site, and first of all, you are most likely easily getting ahead of God's timing. You know, I have to say, 17 is very young. You still have a lot to grow and learn. And I didn't want to hear it when I was your age. I'm telling you, I just didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to believe it. But it is apparently even scientifically proven that until you're 21 years old, the part of your brain that can really think about the future is not even fully developed. Which is why, that explains why as teenagers, we make so many mistakes, some of which last us a lifetime. So you want to be, if I were you and it were me, I don't know how long you've been listening to my channel, but Jason, you want to give God an opportunity to prove Himself faithful to you. And there is no better place I can think of, no more appropriate area of your life to have God's faithfulness than in the area of marriage, who He chose. For example, God gave me my second wife. I chose my first wife. It ended in disaster. God gave me my second wife, Persis. Temporarily, it's ended in disaster, where Satan hates me and her guts so much that he was able to lead her astray. So now, even though there's a problem, I don't have all these doubts like, man, did I put this together? Was this really God? And then you can have all these doubts and you never have certainty. But because I waited, even when I have troubles, no matter what area of my life it is, I can trust God. And there's no better way for you to show God that He's first in your life than to say, Lord, I would like to one day be married, but I want to put the timing of it and the choice of it in your hands. It takes faith to do that, Jason. Not everybody can do this. But if you really want to please God and you really want to have His approval in your life, you give Him, He's a living God. You may not know Him yet. You may know about Him, right? But you can actually know Him and He can give you guidance for your life. And there's no need to be in a hurry unless God, and God is never in a hurry, but unless God tells you the time is right, there's no need to get ahead of Him. Because, man, I tell you, I deal with emails from people every day for 7 years, tens of thousands of emails of people who are so hurting because of who they chose for a marriage, who they chose for their marriage partner, or people that got ahead of God's timing. So if you have that desire, I strongly, strongly encourage you to talk to the Lord about it. Tell him, begin to talk to him how much you would like to have a life partner. But remember this, God's priority for you is him. He wants you to walk with him, to know him, to be established in faith, to really get to hear his voice. And I would ask you, are you already doing that? And if you don't already have a good foundation of faith and knowing God and walking with him, you put a relationship on top of that. Yes, God can use it. And there's no doubt God will use marriage relationships to help you know him better. But something to think about is, don't short circuit or get ahead of the work God may be wanting to do in your heart to teach you to know him and follow him and love him. Give him a chance to let him become your top priority in your life first. I'm telling you, there's a lot of wisdom in this. And it takes a lot of restraint to do this. You know, it takes a lot of faith. You have to really, really trust God, and you have to really be able to hope in him and wait for him. But I see so many people jump into relationships, Jason, and they forget God, and they forget the whole purpose of this thing, Jason, is to have you be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, to walk with him and know him, so that when you close your eyes in this world, you have a guarantee of eternal life in the next. That's what's so important. Okay? To make sure you keep Jesus first and just give yourself time. 17, I know it doesn't feel like to you. It feels like, man, I know it all. I'm ready to go. Maybe you don't feel like you know it all. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking me this question. But you do have a lot of time on your hands. There's no need to be in a hurry. Let God guide you and direct you into his perfect plan and time for you. And I tell you what, when God does it, you will never regret it. Even when pain and difficulties and suffering and problems come, because everybody's going to have them, even when they come, you will know that you trusted God. And then you will be able to look at the problems through the eyes of God and say, God, I know you gave her to me. And no matter what happens, you'll have the peace of God in your heart to hold on in faith. But if you pick somebody, I'm telling you, my friend, you will never have any confidence that this person was from the Lord. On the contrary, you may very well find yourself having all kinds of doubts. Oh man, was this from the Lord? Oh man, was this me? Did the Lord really choose this person? And then you have no confidence. So really give him an opportunity. That would be my recommendation, is don't listen. When God is ready for you to have a spouse, it is so easy for him to give you a spouse. And I'm telling you, if you go and see the story of how God gave me Persis, you could watch that story and you could go, man, it doesn't matter what happens. I know that God gave Michael Persis and Persis to Michael. You have so much confidence. And then all these problems that we've faced and challenges from Satan, et cetera, I have such confidence. I said, Lord, you gave, you take away, you can give back again. But I have such confidence, no doubts, like, oh man, did I pick the wrong girl? Did Satan give me one of his best? Nope. I waited for God to act in my behalf. You would be so wise, Isaiah 64:4, to do the same thing. God bless you, my friend. The following are just a few minutes of clips from the stories The Heavenly Scandal and When the Prodigal Doesn't Return, which can be seen on our website, relentlessheart.com, about the ministry and documentaries about the ministry. In 2016, I flew to Hyderabad, India, to marry my second spouse after waiting for 5.5 years for his promise. It might not be too much of a stretch to say that God had similar plans for my ministry that he did for the prophets in the Bible known as Hosea and Ezekiel, where he used either their wife's infidelity or their death to show the Israelites how wicked they had become. I've had the very painful experience as a full-time minister for the Lord Jesus Christ of having been married 3 times after losing my first 2 wives to infidelity, hypocrisy, and apostasy. The process of watching my wife begin to slowly slip away from Jesus Christ. There were hints when we were living in India. There were a few things that happened that seemed very out of character for my wife, that seemed to completely contradict all of this spiritual unity that we had.
But it wasn't until after we got to America that some real red flags began to come up. And the first one was about 6 months after we came here, when she came to me and said to me one morning, and I could tell she was very upset. She informed me she hadn't been sleeping for days, very well at all, and that she felt she could no longer be a Christian in America.
Her explanation is that she felt the closest to God back when she lived in this small little village, and that God is not here, that you cannot find God here. She keeps talking about wanting to go be around poor people and to have some menial job task, like a laborer or something like that.
And I believe that she was really taken aback by the hypocrisy that she had first seen living now in America, having been told her whole life in India that America was where all the true Christians live. And then arriving here, she began to have this sense that much of what she had seen by way of prosperity and material wealth and possessions was largely built off of the backs of a lot of the poor people around the world, like the ones that she had lived around her entire life. And this is where Satan, no doubt, was beginning to work on her. And from here, she begins to become more and more disillusioned with her faith in Christ and being labeled a Christian. And this is when she begins to go outside of the Bible and outside of Christianity to start to look for additional meaning. And what started out as perhaps an innocent journey to learn some psychological principles slowly graduated her more and more back to, interestingly enough, the spiritual roots where she came from. Not herself, but in India, she went to Eastern mysticism. And then there was this door that opened to horoscope reading and reading the Bhagavad Gita parts of and the Hindu Vedas and studying Buddhism. And so there became this kind of interest that went from psychology and things like birth order and things like introvert and extrovert. She began to move on from thing to thing to thing, looking for meaning. And just as Eve was offered wisdom to know the full difference between good and evil and to, quote, become like God, to become a God, my wife was offered the same opportunity by Satan. It just looked different. This was just, listen, God has more knowledge and more wisdom and insight. It's all outside the scripture. And if you'll just eat a little of this, you too can become like God. I mean, this is the essence and the core of what Eastern mysticism is about, that you can become God. There is no need for a personal God and Father for Him to have lordship over you and for you to live a life of obedience that comes from faith and for you to take up a cross and to deny yourself and live for the life to come and worship this Father. Rather, you can find the divinity within through self-realization. You can find that you and you and you and you are all alike in this big universal spiritual soup of divinity, and you are a part of it, and you simply need to be freed from the material world to understand that you are divine within. It's a very appealing message from Satan. And this happened to my wife, and the terror of watching this happen over 3.5 years, again, every detail of which I captured in the series Apostate Bride of Christ, was shocking and painful and brought forth a multitude of tears. On August 9th, 2020, 3 months after she left, I was still so perplexed about how all this came into death after God did all that He did to put it together in the first place. I was reading my Bible and I began circling and counting the 7 sevens and the 640s in the Genesis flood story in my Bible, reflecting on the bizarre fact that God had done every event in our marriage in India in periods of 40s and sevens. Suddenly I thought, I wonder how many 7s and 40s there were in it. I was in shock when I saw it was a perfect match to the account in Genesis. Here is a chronological list of the 7s and the 40s in the Genesis flood story. And now you can see the chronological order of the 7s and 40s in my second marriage. 40 months to the day of waiting for my promised wife ended on December 30th, 2015. 7 days later, on January 6, 2016, she gave me her phone number. 7 days later, on January 13th, 2016, I asked her to marry me. 40,000 sky miles were required for the first India plane ticket. 40 days after I buy the plane tickets on 2/12, the plane leaves on 3/22. 7 times she went to the Indian marriage registrar before God delivered us. 40 days after, back in the United States from the first India trip on 4/20/2016, I received a $500 gift for the next plane ticket on 5/29/2016. 7 days after the $500 gift, we find a special Indian visa that will allow me to return. 40,000 sky miles were required for the second plane ticket back to India. 7 day turnaround time on my second Indian visa, which came back on June 20th, 2016. 7 days after arriving back in India, we receive P's visa application notice. 7 months and 21 days was the processing time for her U.S. visa. 40 months to the day from leaving India on 12/24/2016, she leaves on 4/23/2020. Now, when you put together the 7s and 40s in the Genesis account and the 7s and 40s in our marriage, albeit not in chronological order, you can see we have a perfect match with not one single event missing. One thing that makes this providence of God even more remarkable is that they did not just happen without my willful, active involvement. I had to be able to hear God's guidance to me and to obey the Lord throughout all of this in order for Him to hit these dates. There had already been a perfect match between our India marriage and our U.S. visa process with all the 40s and 7s in the Genesis flood. But I had no idea that God was going to continue making connections to the flood. You can see here we have another match between the 150 days in which the floodwaters prevailed on the earth and the 150 days between my spouse leaving and Esther the chicken suddenly laying her next eggs. Having seen this, I knew that no matter what happened, God was in control of this entire process. At some point, Isaiah 59:19 came to my mind, where in the King James Version it says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood," think Noah's flood, "the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him."